Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that as we come into your presence, God, that we can enjoy your presence, Lord. We can enjoy fellowship with one another and fellowship with your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you that we're not strangers in your house, Lord, that we are sons and daughters, God. And this evening we come as that, Lord. We come as sons and daughters, Lord, and we come into your presence. Father, we come to hear from you, Lord. We come to not only get instruction, Lord, but we want to know what's on your heart, Father. And I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that as we hear your word, that you would teach us, Lord, that you would direct our steps, that you would mold us and shape us. And Father, we thank you for more than just information. We thank you for revelation, Lord, and we thank you for life change in each of our lives tonight, God. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up. Let your name be glorified in this place, God. And we just want also, just as we pray now, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness last weekend. We thank you for the amazing time we could have in your presence together as a family. We thank you for every life that was touched, God, for every life that was changed. We thank you for the powerful work that you did in us and through us, Lord. And we thank you for every seed that was sown on the camp, Lord. And we thank you for good fruit, Lord, fruit that will bring glory to your name, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for momentum in the Spirit for us as a family, Lord. And Yahweh, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you help us to lay aside the distractions, that we could run with this momentum that you give us, God, in Jesus' name. And we ask that your name be glorified in and through us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Tonight, after a camp like last weekend, there's lots of stuff, lots of things on your heart, you know, lots of things to work through. And specifically when Fred's ministering, and you always have this inclination that I'll probably have to go and listen to this at least 3 times, you know, to just get half the other 3 bit, or, you know, I don't want to say 3 halves, but no. But to get the rest of what he was saying. And so especially if you have a little one, you're kind of in and out. But yeah, like I said, please work through those recordings. So there was a lot on my heart. And then I came across this quote that kind of pulled quite a bit of it together. So I'm going to start with a quote, which I don't normally do. So this is not scripture, but this is from a very godly man, and he's called Bill Johnson. And he says, "Jesus served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I'm intimate. Before people, I'm a servant. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler, with no tolerance for the influence. Wisdom knows which role to fulfill at the proper time." So there's a lot in there. but it's interestingly enough, it came across it, and it kind of just those 3 main things he was pointing out were on my heart. And so I'm just going to touch on those tonight. And just God, just for some insight on those. Let's read from Galatians chapter 3, and then we'll move right along to Romans chapter 8. Galatians 3:26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And let me just say from the start, I'm going to talk about sons a lot this evening, but it doesn't exclude the ladies. Okay, it talks about sonship, which is a spiritual principle, and includes the ladies as well. Are you happy with that, ladies? Okay. If you have difficulty with being called a son, imagine us having difficulty being called the bride of Christ. No, so just deal with it, okay? No, just kidding. But it is funny for some men, it's difficult to work through that one, being called the bride of Christ. So we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 8:16-17, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." And I'm not going to go into the suffering bit, but one of Fred's sessions touched on that on the weekend. And also life-changing to the fellowship of his sufferings. This is the starting point. Is the point where we come to grips with our identity in Christ. And I've found in my walk with God, my relationship with my father, and often our relationship with our earthly fathers, kind of influence the way we perceive God as our heavenly father. Influence the way we we walk that road with Him. And I had to deal with something. I had to deal with the revelation or realizing that although this is my experience of a father, and I have a great dad, not perfect though, although, you know, this is my experience, that the father heart of God is different. And I needed to kind of say, okay, I need to change the way I think about a father, and really be able to receive from God. So through Christ and through our faith in Christ, we are children of God. We are part of the household of faith, and we are children and co-heirs with Christ. And that is part of the biggest exchange that happens at the cross. And this is, I remember learning at Bible school, hearing about the blood covenant for the first time, and at the beginning it's a bit weird, you know, talking about blood covenant. It sounds a bit freaky. And I remember actually it was when I was working in a hotel in Zone 1 many years ago, about 12 years ago, and I used to work night shifts, and in the middle we used to work 9 o'clock till, 9 to 9. Yes. 9 in the evening till 9 in the morning. But we used to have 3 hours break, okay? So there was a bit of grace there. And in those 3 hours, somewhere in the middle of the night, I normally had my little tape. We had tapes then, yes, the Bible school correspondence. I had on a tape, and I had my little Walkman. Yes, that's it. And I used to then do Bible school there in the hotel on my break. And I remember this so clearly because the Lord just showed me something about this. And part of the massive exchange, that cutting of covenant through the blood of Jesus, that we, when we step into that covenant, there's an exchange that happens at the cross. And when people used to do covenant, make covenant in those times, part of it was the exchange of robes and that identity that represents. And at the cross, you know, is this massive exchange that we come in our identity as sinners, we are sinful beings. We are born in sin, and you know, as much as I love Abigail, and she's really amazing and beautiful and cute, she's the most beautiful. Sorry, Jane, you know, she'll get there. But although that's all true, the sinful nature is coming through. Yeah, I thought maybe she was born again in the womb, but it's not the case. She's a sinner. And I know we've been praying for a long time, just joking. But it's amazing. That's there. We don't teach her that stuff. I don't know. I won't go into detail. You'll think we're bad parents. No, no, I'm joking. But the sinful nature is there. But at the cross, we come with that sinful nature. We come with our identity as sinners, and in the spirit, we're wearing this cloak of our sinful nature, this filthy garment. You know, you can just imagine like filthy and dirty and torn up, and it's just disgusting because of our sin. And then the great exchange happens. Jesus comes and He removes that from us, and he clothes us in a robe of righteousness, the royal robe, His robe, which in the Spirit identifies Him as the Son of the Most High God, the one who is without sin, the perfect, the Son of the Living God, and the royal robe that identifies Him as the Son of God. And then identifies us in the Spirit as children of the Most High God. And you know, it's and I like to think of it like that, because it's like a uniform that you put on, and everybody can see, okay, that person represents somebody, or is here on behalf of someone. Does that make sense? I have worn a uniform before, and it is like that. You know, when you wear your uniform in public, you kind of have to remember, okay, now I'm. Everybody knows who I represent, so you kind of adjust your behavior, and to kind of fit in with that. And in the Spirit, it's the same. Because now we are walking with this cloak in the Spirit, and that's, we are now identifiable as the children of God. And specifically, that's what's so powerful, again, of the baptism on the weekend. where people made the public declaration that they now identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the spirit, that's like a massive news, you know, it's like a media, what do you say, a broadcast or, where you make sure everybody knows, this is me, I'm identifying with Christ, I'm on His side, I've died with Christ and I've risen with Christ and I'm in Christ. And that is why that's such a powerful declaration, because all of heaven testifies to that, and all the demons and all the angels, they all see, okay, this one is now on that side. And such a powerful declaration of what has happened in the Spirit. And that is the point, that's where we start, is where we grasp that I'm no longer a slave. And that's why they often use the picture of the Israelites coming out of slavery into the promised land. I'm no longer a slave to sin and death. I'm now under the law of life in Christ Jesus. And that massive exchange has happened. And I step into identity that is not my own, but that is of Jesus and of the Son of God. Is that exciting? Is that good news tonight? And for us to walk away from the stuff of the past, Paul says, I leave that stuff behind. Forgetting what lies behind, I press forward. Forgetting that stuff from my old nature, forgetting the stuff from my past, laying aside the stuff that wants to slow me down, the stuff that from my sinful nature, and pressing forward into that inheritance that I now have a part of in Christ. And then there's a second part to this. So it's that identity in Christ that identifies us as royal. Okay, so the title is royal servants. That means not you're serving somebody royal. You are a royal servant. Okay, and in this country I suppose we have a little bit more of an understanding of that. But that's the amazing thing is that if you look at the royal family. Now, Harry has just spoiled this example because he's just... but on the whole, they... just joking, but they're still human beings. But they represent the nation in a very specific, very special way. And they're not going to make excuses for who they are because they have been appointed in this position. In the same way... In the spirit, we are now sons and daughters of God, and we can walk with that confidence in the spirit. In the same way that even though Zahiri goes off to Vegas and does some silly things, he's still under the protection of all those guys that go with, and the same way we can know that we walk with that, we have a bodyguard and a spirit that goes with us and that's around us, and we can walk with a confidence and with a boldness in the plan and the purpose that God has for us. And then with that comes the authority that God gives us. And let's quickly look at Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, along with this identity, along with being sons and daughters of God, we also receive delegated authority to walk in God's authority on the earth, representing Him on the earth. And especially, he says here, it's trampling on serpents and scorpions. It's a funny thing. The other night... Yaku and I went to pray at someone's home. It doesn't matter how it came about, but they experienced some difficulties there and some challenges, and we wanted to go and just anoint the place and pray with them, which if you haven't done that in your house, you should do. So we said, this is your space, this is the space God has entrusted to you, and you can rule and reign in the Spirit in this space. Okay, that's part of our being royal and ruling in the Spirit. In the space that God has entrusted to you, and that whether it be your workplace or the place where you live. And we went there and we anointed the place and we prayed with them, and the Lord showed us specific things to address. It was really a blessed time. And we broke bread together and had communion. And also what happened, as we were praying, the Lord showed us specific things, and they could testify, they could say, wow, yes, we experienced that since moving in here, and we addressed say, stuff like anxiety or depression, and we could address those things very specifically. And then the Lord also laid on the lady's heart some items in the house that she had to get rid of. And normally that's one of those awkward things, you know, when you go into somebody's house and you see something and you feel the Spirit saying, no, this is not cool. It's difficult to, well, not difficult, yeah, but it's sometimes awkward to address that. But luckily this time the Lord kind of showed her very clearly. And one of the things was a little wooden African figure, okay, only about this size. And she felt that thing has to go. And I agreed, you know, it's often those little curios, I'm hoping I'm not freaking people out, but we've experienced that sometimes the curios don't come alone. It's often the guys put curses on them and stuff like that. Not always. But this time the Holy Spirit really showed her and we felt we needed to just break off the head and get rid of it. But it was quite strong. Quite a sturdy thing. So I couldn't break it off just like that. I don't know, I'm getting old or something in any case. So when we got outside, I was like, okay, I put it against the wall and I just, you know, put my foot on it and broke it in half. It felt quite good. And that's biblical, you know, that scripture about the crushing the head of the serpent under the heel, yeah, you see. But then, that scripture, what is the rest of that scripture, Joe? No, not that one. Okay, don't worry. now then, Genesis, it speaks about the serpent and, you know, the son of Eve will crush the serpent's head. And then, but it says the serpent will strike your heel or something like that. So you know what this thing does? It hurts my foot. Yeah, so summary, I didn't get on my heel, so I got it like in the middle of my foot. And the next day it was really sore. And I couldn't figure out what I did to injure my foot. But anyway, so this little thing still had one last attempt to cause pain. So now it's finished. We've cancelled that now. But the amazing thing is that we are called to rule and reign in the Spirit. Because now, if I read through these things, most of you will say, yes, we've heard that thing, that we're called we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we're called to rule with Him. But what does it mean practically? What does it mean to be seated with Christ in heavenly places? Have you thought about that? Is it one of those a little bit, okay, random things in the Bible? But this doesn't mean we rule over people always, okay? And I felt that's one of the things we need to just look at tonight. As Edwin God says, rule and reign, He speaks mostly of the Spirit. So obviously we will lead people, but the kind of leadership that Jesus demonstrates is that of servant leadership, and we will look at that in a moment. But in the Spirit, we rule. So if you're in a workplace where there's an ungodly environment, I want to say to you, you need to take authority there. You need to rule in the Spirit. Otherwise, something else will rule there. And because you are royalty in the Spirit, it doesn't make any sense for anything else to rule there because God has put you there. Same with your family. You know, as home groups, we're going to be praying specifically for the areas we're in more often now. We're going to, as we discuss outreach strategies, we're going to have to be able very specific in our intercession. But we're going to have to address specific things in the Spirit and rule in the territory that God has given us. And on this, I mean, we're talking about intercession, and this is a very key part of the mandate that God has given us as a church. Okay, so that's part of what Lucille talks about in that session. So please have a look at that and listen to that. But God has called us to intercede not only for where we've put us, but on behalf of the body of Christ in this nation. And specifically, the word that came through on the weekend was to unblock the wells. Fred was preaching on wells and the, you know, rivers of living water, and there was a specific word for that. There's an anointing that we can pray to unblock wells all over this nation. So we're going to be doing that. Trust God for strategy and direction. But know that we can boldly walk in the mandate of intercession because that is part of who we are as shofar. Okay. Nothing wrong with mandates of the different parts of the body of Christ, but we have to take ownership of the mandate that God has given us. Amen. And so I want to encourage you again to join us at intercession. I know for some of you it's a bit late and you're already in the flow of the day and 6 o'clock is just too late for you. But if you're able to join us, please do so. And we also prayed normally before the services as well. If you have a call in for intercession, you can help us there. But this is an area where we have to trust God to gain momentum in intercession. So I want to just formally invite everybody again. So Friday mornings, 6 o'clock at the Gate School, and Sunday afternoons before church. Great. I see you guys are very excited about that. But what blessed me about this is that it is God's mandate. So it's not something we have to apologize for. It's something we can boldly walk in. And we can take authority and we can rule in what He's given us. But this doesn't mean I'm just going to go out and take on any principality and power when I go on holiday in New York or something and just take on the ruler in the spirit there in New York. Okay, please don't do that. But don't go beyond your mandate. Don't go beyond what God has shown and has given us as a mandate. So where you live and where you work and where we operate as a family in Christ, yes, take authority there and rule in the Spirit. There's no excuses, no, as Bill Johnson says, no regard for whatever else is there. We have to take charge of the situation. Okay, you with me? All right, then let's look at Galatians 5. We're going to also look at Ephesians. Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And let's look at Ephesians as well, 5:1-2. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Okay, now, the past couple of weeks we've been talking about what does it mean as a family to love one another, on Camp Fred also ministered on the closed circle, that's being a family, being a community, walking in that kind of closed circle that he calls it, of a family in Christ. So we've been talking a little bit around accountability and that type of thing, so I won't go through into that again. But know that again, this is a season where there's grace for us to grow in that area, for us to walk in the light, for us to walk in accountability, for us to walk in a place of boldness in terms of being straight with one another in the love of Jesus. Okay, I had to chat with someone a while ago about something. It was a little bit of a difficult situation. Don't worry, it wasn't in this congregation. But I remember the person was a little bit upset about the thing we wanted to talk about. It's difficult to explain, but he said, for instance, how would I feel about if he said something about the way I discipline Abigail or raise her, if he had something to say about it. if he came into my house and he said something about this, about how I raise my daughter. And I said to him, you know what, if it was a random guy off the street, I would just kind of say whatever. But if you come into my house as a part of this family in Christ and you say something about that, I'm going to have to sit down and listen to what you have to say. If you can't talk to me about this, who can? That boldness of saying, okay, I'm going to open myself up. I'm going to be receptive of hearing to what God has to say through the other members of the family. So we've been talking about that. But here, very importantly, we look at, yes, we've been called to liberty, but we've been called to, through love, to serve one another. So when we operate in the spiritual realm, we rule. Okay? We've been called to rule. When we operate amongst one another and amongst in the world there, outside, out in the world, but towards other people, we serve. Okay? So we make it easy to remember. In the spirit, we rule. towards people we call to serve. And you know, I've noticed when we say we call to love our neighbor and we call to, you know, to love the people out there, to love the lost, it's a difficult concept sometimes for people. You know, what does it mean? How does it work? So this is an easy one, to serve. So when you talk about, you know, when you think about your colleague, that person at work that you don't get along with at all, know that because you have been called to serve this person in the love of God, the grace of God is with you in that scenario. And I know some of you are thinking now and thinking, no, that's not possible. But we have been called to serve people in the love of God. And yes, that will, even when we lead, we're called to serve. That is how the love of God manifests. If you look at the life of Christ, the ultimate servant leader, and laying down his life to the point of death on the cross, serving us, coming as the King of Kings, laying down all that glory, coming in the form of man, and serving all of mankind. So that's, and we've been called to imitate that, as it says here in Ephesians 5, that to us be imitators of God and walk in love in the same way that Christ has loved us and given himself for us. So that's in terms of how we operate towards one another, how we operate to the people out there. And this is part of also when we our mandate to reach out and to serve our community. And if, you know, we're busy discussing in the small groups, we're discussing strategy and outreach strategy and, you know, vision. And if you, while you're doing that, think in terms of how can we serve? Because when we talk about outreach and evangelism, everybody goes, "Oh, you know, I'm not an evangelist, and I don't know how to do that." And it's a lot of us, you know, doesn't come as naturally. But if you think at it, if you think about it from this perspective, serving someone with the love of Jesus, it becomes much more practical. Do you agree? What can I do that will serve this person? What can I do that will bless this person? What can I do that will actually, you know, that will serve them? And there's always two legs to this. So it can be the community. So it can be to bless the local police station or the policeman or somebody like that. Or on the other side, we want to bless and we want to serve our neighbors or people that we're in contact with that are in our sphere of influence, because we also want to disciple them, which is also serving them in that way as well. So there are always those two legs. So when you're praying through that as a small group, think serving. Think, how can we serve people with the love of Jesus? Are you with me? Some of the small groups in South Africa, one of the guys mentioned, they decided that one day they're going to stand. Okay, obviously that's one of the bigger congregations, so they have like 1,000 people or something coming. So they're going to be in the parking lot, and it was raining, so they're going to be there with lots of umbrellas, and they're going to walk people to church so that they can get there dry, type of thing. So that was their small group of the week, that they were just wanting to serve in love. And very easy, not very deep or anything, but in terms of walking in what God had called them to do, very powerful. Are you with me? Okay. Praise God. So we've been called to serve one another. We rule in the Spirit. And when we operate in terms of our neighbors and people around us, we serve in love. And when we do this, this is worship unto God. It says here, it's an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When we serve people in the love of Christ, God is glorified. And it says worship unto him. And that's a blessing. Okay. Let's look at Psalms. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is Psalm of David, I believe. And then also Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And then now talking about a place of intimacy that we have with God. And this is, you know, we talk about this, you know, the secret place the scripture talks about. Have you ever thought about it? What does it mean? Is it like do you have to have like a secret The old church the guys used to talk about the prayer closet. Do you have one of those? Yes, I suppose most. Yeah, most in the old flat we had to have a separate toilet. I suppose that was a good prayer closet. But yeah, I suppose in the UK the space is not it's always a not. Yeah, it's a problem. So I don't know if you have a separate prayer closet somewhere. Abigail, she doesn't mind getting into cupboards and things. Maybe that's what she was doing in the cupboard. Yeah, she thought it was a prayer closet. She climbs into the cupboard. In any case. But, you know, this is not a... We often think of a... I have to go and I have to, you know, go to a specific place and I have to, you know, it has to be quiet and it's quiet time. And we kind of almost very ritualistic about this sometimes, which is, it's not bad to have a good routine. I'm not saying that. But this place of intimacy, this place in the courts of God, this place in the secret place is not necessarily a physical place. Okay. I found it's not a bad thing to sometimes make an appointment with God because very busy, you know. No, he's not. We are busy, but it's sometimes it's a blessing to make an appointment and to kind of put it in your diary and to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to meet you down at the river this time, and you know we're going to spend some time together. That's good to do that from time to time, but this dwelling in intimacy in the presence of God is a lifestyle. It is not something we have to go somewhere for. It's not something we have to manufacture. Now I have to have this time. It is a place we operate from. It is a place of peace. Scripture calls it Sabbath rest, a place of rest, a place of contentment, and a place of kind of that being founded on the rock that is Christ. And from that, from there we live, from that place of intimacy. So when you're at work and there's a crisis and things are falling apart, you don't have to run home and go to the prayer closet and quickly pray. Yes, you can go to the loo maybe and there in the little cubicle and cry out to God. But wherever we are, we can operate from that place of intimacy, from that place of peace. And that is where our authority, that is where our strength comes from. This is the place where it's safe. This is the place where you can be vulnerable before God. You know, you can come up with, you know, spill the beans, whatever you've got in your heart. Even in marriage, in a marriage relationship, you know, although there's a great intimacy and it's good to have a lot of sharing, guys, okay? But even in marriage, there's a place where we reserve a part of our heart and a part of who we are only for Christ, only for God. There's a place of intimacy there that is reserved only between us and God. And that is a place where there's no fear there. Even if you are afraid, you can be honest about it. You can say, Lord, this is who I am. I'm afraid about this thing. You can put down your burdens. We can cast off our cares. We can come into that place of peace and rest and know that we will be received. And we can boldly go there. We can boldly operate from that place. And then we know it's a safe place. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of peace. And I specifically felt that something that has been a blessing to me recently is that to realize that if, you know, some of us are very purpose-driven people, are very task-orientated, and we often filter some of the stuff that what God says. Sometimes it's because of hurt in our lives, maybe it's because of some offenses or stuff we're dealing with. So we don't hear everything. Okay, I suppose depending on who you are, that determines what you hear. But often we filter out, what we do here is we hear the commands, and we hear the correction, and we hear the general of the army. You know, we hear God is the commander of the armies and directing us and say, this is where you need to go, and, you know, kind of shape up, you need to fix this thing. We're kind of, okay, like, I need to perform type of thing. And we filter out the father that says, you're doing well, my son. I'm pleased with you. You're doing amazing, you know, continue what you're doing. We filter out the affirmation that the father wants us to receive. And I just felt this for somebody here tonight. Trust God to receive, to remove some of that hardness of heart so that you can receive the affirmation of the Father. The Father that says, I'm proud of you, my daughter. I love you. I know you're going through a tough time, but my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to just stick in there. You know, stick it out. I'm with you. I haven't forsaken you. That affirmation that says, you know, we're almost at the top. This is a steep hill, but we're almost there. I've gone before you. I've made a way for you. And I felt that's for specific for one or two people tonight. The Lord wants to affirm you in that. He wants to say, it feels like a long race. That he is so blessed with your faithfulness. And your faithfulness and just sticking it out through the tough times. So let's trust God tonight for a release of just being able to hear everything He's saying. To receive the affirmation of the Father. But this is the point where we operate from. Yes, we rule in the Spirit. When we warfare in the Spirit, when we pray, when we intercede, we don't take any nonsense from any principalities or powers, because we're in authority in the blood of Jesus. And when we serve one another, we do so with the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so we don't do it out of our own strength. But all of this flows from this secret place, from the place of intimacy, from this place where Bill Johnson says, before God, I'm intimate. This is like precious time. This is that intimate place from where we operate. The place where we get recharged and built up, and often we get this picture of a gladiator, or that goes into this little dark room somewhere, gets prepared for the battle, and puts on all the armor, and the secret place is like that, but it doesn't have to be that specific time and place. It can be a continual lifestyle. And often, you know, we hear people saying, no, this morning I prayed and I put on the armor of God. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but again, that, I believe, is a lifestyle we live. We live a lifestyle of living in the Spirit, living with the armor of God, living with the helmet of salvation. It's not like if I don't put it on tomorrow morning, then, you know, things might go wrong, I might not be saved, you know, the helmet of salvation. But that's a lifestyle that we live. We live in that place of protection, and we live by the power of the Spirit, and we live with the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. It's a lifestyle. And in the same way, this place of intimacy, it's a lifestyle, and it's a place of rest from where we operate. Scripture calls it also that Sabbath rest, the secret place. And also refers to it as a refuge, a place of refuge, a shelter, a safe place. Are you with me this evening? Some of us need to get to that place. And there was a word this morning I felt quite significant, that often when our soul is what we call it, out of peace, when things go wrong and we get panicky and we're like, oh my goodness, you know, I have to connect with God, I have to get back, to tap back into God. When that's happening, we're actually operating in the flesh. Are you with me? Because if you feel like you have to tap into God, that means, yeah, then you're not operating in the Spirit. So it's not like we have to go back to God. He's never left us. It's just us realizing, okay, I'm operating in the flesh now. I need to take charge in the Spirit. Talk to my soul a bit in Scripture. And you see David talking to his soul and sorting him out, sorting himself out. That's where this whole thing comes about, you know, with multiple personality, you know, all three of us. So there's a place where even there, you know, we realize, okay, I'm a little bit out of sorts here. I need to just stop now, and I have to just get the order right, and I have to operate from the Spirit again. to operate from that place of intimacy. And it's in that place that we receive grace and we receive strength to rule in the Spirit and to serve with love that is truly from God. Have you felt when you try to serve someone, or you try to love someone, try to make it happen out of your own strength, it's often the outcome isn't blessed. Have you had that before? Yeah, it feels like either you're not received or something gets miscommunicated or somebody gets offended. Maybe it doesn't happen to you guys, but but it's amazing that when you do some, even the difficult things, when you have the difficult chats and the things that are awkward or might cause offense, when you do that in the love of God, it's amazing how the grace of God is all over that thing. And it's not to do nothing to do with the words we use or the, it's because we're coming out of a love that then grace manifests in that situation. Amen. And this Psalm 51 again, a broken and contrite heart, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These are God, you will not despise. Know that when you come with God in that vulnerability, when you come to Him and you live from that vulnerable place, and you come to Him boldly and honestly, that is worship. And other men, we try to be macho and say, no, everything is okay, I'm blessed, brother. And we try to do the same with God. We try to kind of put a veneer on what's really happening. We try to make everything is fine. But obviously God is kind of, what are you doing? And I can see everything that's going on. I know what's going on in your heart. I know the condition of your heart even before you know it yourself. So, and it's such a key for us to be able to come boldly before God. And that's something Lucille was ministering on this weekend, on how we approach God and the questions we ask God and how we come to Him. And I want to encourage you to listen to that as well. Talking about husband and wife, but also us and Jesus. And coming to Him with a desire to know and to understand His heart. And I'm not going to preach your message again, but that was such a key to come to this place of intimacy where we come asking, Lord, I want to understand. I want to know your heart. I don't want to know about you. I want to know your heart for this situation, for this person. I want to understand how you feel about this thing. And that, when we approach God from that, she was basically saying that is the key to us to really come into a place of intimacy and closeness with God. As it is also in marriage. Okay. So this broken and contrite heart, when we come before God, we're broken, we're humble, and we just honest about where we're at. God will not despise that. He will not reject you. Okay. It's a safe place. And it's because we have that safe place that we can operate as sons and daughters. We can rule in the Spirit because we have this refuge, because we have this place of peace. Amen. Please stand tonight. We're going to pray together. So let's just I want to just read that quote again. Jesus served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is our identity. Servanthood is our assignment. Intimacy with God is our life source. Before God, we're intimate. Before people, we're servants. Before the powers of hell, we're rulers, and wisdom knows which role to fulfill at the proper time. And that's something we can trust God for tonight, is that we would walk in the practicality of this word. Trust God for wisdom, how to walk in practice. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you call us, Lord, to as sons and daughters in Christ, Lord. And tonight I thank you, Father, for the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Lord. We thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear again, but a spirit of adoption, Lord. And tonight I thank you, Lord, for every person here. I sense there are some, Lord, that you want to just call out tonight and say, you are my son. You're not a slave anymore. You're no longer a hireling. You're not a second-rate citizen in the kingdom. Some of us here are feeling like they have to still earn their place in the house of God. They have to perform for God. And God is saying to you tonight, you don't have to jump through hoops. There's nothing that you can do or not do that will make me love you more or make me love you less. And I just want to speak that over us tonight, that the love of God is perfect towards you. And He has demonstrated His love on the cross. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for a grace to step into sonship, Lord, into a place of revelation of I'm no longer a slave to sin and death. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I've been bought with a price. God, and we thank you for that tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from a hardness of heart, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you remove, right now even, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, God, you remove hardness of heart, Lord, that is keeping us from receiving the affirmation of the Father. Yeah, I thank you, Lord. I sense specifically a lady that has experienced hurt and has experienced disappointment. And the Father just wants to cover you with His grace tonight. He wants to cover you from every side and say, I'm with you, my daughter. I love you. I know it's felt like I was far away, but I've never left you. And there have been a lot of questions, and there's been a lot of doubts and fears. And the Lord wants to come and remove those tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we remove every doubt and every fear, Lord. And we thank you for, just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you just cover that person with your grace and with your love, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your perfect peace. We thank you, Lord, that you want to affirm your love and your acceptance, God, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, Father, I thank you tonight, Lord. You remove any filter, Lord. Everything that has caused us not to hear and not to receive your affirmation, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you to deliver us, Lord, from those blockages that keep us from hearing, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to rule and to reign in the Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a boldness to be released tonight, God, a boldness to step into that place in the Spirit, God. I thank you, Lord, that you remove a fear of man now in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every fear of man. We come against everything that is even timidity in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that as we step from this place, as we operate from a place of peace, that I thank you for rivers of living water to flow from our innermost being in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for boldness to serve people in the love of God, Lord. Boldness that comes out of an understanding that we rule and reign with Christ in the Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a boldness to lift our heads, even when we walk through our community, to know this is my place. This is the place that God has entrusted to us. And and we are kings and priests unto our God in this place, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from a false humility, God, but you bless us with a meekness, God, to walk in your authority, Lord, and to walk in your call and your purpose, but knowing the authority that we wield in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for divine appointments this week. I thank you, Lord, even as Anna testified, thank you for appointments where we can serve in the love of Jesus. We can serve people in a practical way, God. And I just sense, Lord, there's going to be hard hearts, people that we have struggled to connect with, that you're going to turn around, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, just for a turning of hearts this week in a powerful way, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for a boldness to step into those situations and to know that you have gone before us, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for fruit in our lives, God. And we thank you that your name is glorified in and through us, God, as we walk in obedience, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody with a word in their heart or something to share at this stage? I want to pray for some people. I just specifically feel if you've experienced that bit of hardness and you need to just receive the affirmation of the Father, please come to the front. I just wanted to pray with you, okay? Do you want to share something? Yes, please. Okay, go for it. Mm-hmm. if you've experienced that, please join us also. We'd love to pray with you. And the guys as well, you know, trying to be macho before God and not receiving that affirmation. If that's you tonight, I just feel God wants to bring a release of a confidence in the knowledge of His love and the knowledge of His acceptance. And if that word that came earlier, if that was for you, please come to the front. I'd love to pray with you as well. Okay. So if you have any prayer need beyond that, please also come to the front, and we're going to be ministering to some people. Otherwise, join us on the side there, and have a wonderful week. Be blessed. Go in the peace of God. Amen.